We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
Roll out of bed, Mr. Coffee's dead. The morning's looking bright. And your shrink ran off to Europe and didn't even write. And your husband wants to be a girl.
Be glad there's one place in the world where...
Basically, be glad there's this one place in the world, Rush to Reason, where we can put some sanity back into all of this craziness. Richard Giordano joining us now. Talk about transgenderism. And I thought we, you know, Richard, that was his idea, actually. He found that little clip, and we thought we'd start off and play that to get rolling here today. And, yeah, you don't want your husband telling you he wants to be a girl.
Not good.
No, that is not good at all. All right, so what's going on in Chassa? We talked about that a little bit last time you were on. I know you met with your local school board, Gilpin County, last night. Talk to us about what's going on.
Well, the reason I met with the school board last night, John, is the thesis for what I wanted to present to you and your audience today. And that is that, the paradigm has shifted. There's been a major paradigm shift in this country. And while we were sleeping, actually, we used to be able to trust the schools, trust our counselors, trust our principals, our teachers, etc. We don't have to spend a lot of time on that now to determine that there's a little bit wrong there.
Yeah, I just played that clip earlier from the teachers' unions, right, you know, really admitting that they drafted the return to school or the, you know, precautionary measures that schools should take when it comes to COVID.
Right.
And that was not based on science. That was based upon a political agenda that one group of individuals called the teachers union have.
And you just identified, I think, the major criteria and the major element that has changed everything. Public education, from when I was starting in it in the 60s, has become far more political. In fact, it wasn't really that political at that time because the unions were just starting up.
It is now.
It is now.
Very much so. But, to your point of what you're going to talk about.
Exactly. And the reason that I want to talk about this transgender issue relative to the school boards is because we really have to trust but verify in terms of what's happening in our schools today. And whereas many parents might remember the old days when you could go to the parent-teacher association or the parent-teacher organization,
right,
whatever it happened to be, that would be your avenue to speak to your school officials. If you didn't want to talk to them directly, you could attend a PTA meeting or something. But I wanted to start off by telling you that you can't really trust those people anymore. And I'm going
to
give you a...
No, because real quick, to dovetail on what Richard just said there a moment ago, the reason why I believe you can't trust those individuals any longer is because, frankly, they've the unions and the powers that be, let's just say it that way, have made sure that even the individuals that are in those positions are on their side.
You've just given me a terrific segue into in plugging my own book, the second book about teacher evaluation. I reference in there what I call the education coterie. The coterie is a loosely assembled conglomerate of different organizations. You've just mentioned a few of them. Parent-teacher organization is, of course, part of that. Mm-hmm. It's not a cabal. When I was writing the book, I was thinking about how to put this together, and I considered the word cabal, but the word cabal refers to something done in secret.
Yeah, this isn't secret.
This is not secret at all.
No, it's in the open.
This is right out there.
Very well said.
Ready to bite you.
Yeah, you're right.
And let me tell you how the PTA can bite you, to play off that a little bit. I was in communication with, just yesterday, I was in communication with a national person with the National Parent Teacher Association. I'm going to give her a little credit here. Her name is Leslie Pollack, and she is a senior manager, national manager, for government affairs. And when she signs off on her email in response to my question, my question, by the way, was, what is the official PTA policy relative to the transgender issue? And also, particularly, I want to know about their critical race theory position. I wanted to know what position they took.
Okay.
I want to read you a little bit of what she said here, but I want to preface that by the way she signed off on her email. She lists her name, Senior Manager, Government Affairs, National Parent Teacher Association, office phone, cell phone. And here's the tell. She/her/hers.
All righty.
Take your pick.
Yeah, goes back to what I just talked about with Demi Lovato a moment ago.
It's interesting. I was talking to Charlie before we came on, and I just happened to have a little piece on Demi Lovato. We must have read the same thing today.
Mm-hmm.
But let me read this little response that she sent to me relative to my question about the critical race theory. She says, I'm going to quote now, National PTA does not have a position on critical race theory as a specific methodology, but we do encourage the implementation of diverse and inclusive curricula. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
In K-12 public schools nationwide, culturally and linguistically responsive teaching and learning and inclusive curricula, it's hard to say, are imperative in building socially competent and aware children and youth, enhancing their intellectual capability and psychosocial well-being. This includes recognizing racism, classism, and other issues in the world and developing a student's awareness to openly address these situations. The big challenge here is something that might slip by. They're concerned about advancing their psychosocial well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you parents out there, but I know for myself, that's none of their business.
No.
That's a parent's job.
Their goal should be, and the only goal as far as I'm concerned, should be, can a student read? Can he write? Can they do arithmetic? Do they know the sciences, you know, biology, things along those lines? Can they spell? Let's face it, basic education, reading, writing, and arithmetic, Richard, is all they're supposed to be doing.
Well, and the parent
teacher, am I right?
You're absolutely correct, and it's well stated, as you put it. But the Parent Teacher Association should be there to support and advance the wishes of parents.
Right.
And I don't think there are many parents that are contacting the national, local, or state PTA asking them to please help us with my child's psychosocial well-being.
I would venture to guess there's none, if not very, very few. Let's say it that way.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. So, you know, my thesis is, and I was a high school principal, as some of your listeners may know from previous broadcasts.
Right. Hey, you're familiar with this world. Let's just say that.
Let's say I have an inside insight, mm-hmm. Okay?
That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
You're an expert in this area that, I am not. I have not done the things that you have. And, again, much like I talked about earlier in the program, that's why we're not all equal. You and I are... You should be treated equal under the law, but we are not equal. You have a set of skills that I don't have.
Well, and quite honestly, I don't know about the expert part, but I want to be honest and say I have a bias by virtue of the fact that I've been in this field for so many years and I've seen
good
what
point.
Happens.
Good point.
The second book, again, on teacher evaluation being a fraud, the way it's currently conducted, is based upon my having been a teacher evaluator and knowing that I perpetrated this fraud. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I don't think any of my colleagues want to talk about it, particularly those that might still be involved.
Sure, sure. No, and hats off to you for doing so.
Well, anyway, I wanted to contact the PTA to find out what was going on. But a little additional aside here, I contacted the national PTA, but I thought I'd also contact the PTA president in not the largest district, but one of the largest, the Denver Public Schools.
Mm.
And so I spoke with that woman just yesterday as well. And to your listeners' amazement, I'm sure to mine, the PTA president for the Denver Public Schools did not know what critical race theory is, let alone whether they had a policy about it.
Oh.
So if you think...
I am shocked.
I kind of fell off my chair.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
But if you think that your PTA is going to be an advocate for you on this issue or any other, I have a bridge to sell you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to mention is how parents can be involved. And you made reference to the fact that I was at my school board, Gilpin County Schools, up in the mountains just last evening. That was quite an experience. I think I was the only one there other than four of the five board members and the superintendent. That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
There are no parents attending these meetings, and as a result, school board members, not only can they do what they want, but they can ignore what they choose to ignore.
And I will also say that this is much like, public meetings you have when it comes to, developments and things along those lines that come into your neighborhood. I know just firsthand that a city will look at its residents, especially those residents that are the closest to that development. They will look at that in a higher manner than they will somebody that's outside of the city limits, for example. You know, maybe they're in the county or what have you. Same is true when it comes to the school boards. Richard, it's great that you went last night, but you don't have little kids in school.
I don't have any kids in school, but I am a resident of that district.
It does help.
I'm a lifelong educator.
But my point is it would help more so even if you had kids. In other words, if there had been more people there that had kids on your side, that helps the cause, is my point.
You're exactly right. But you know what's interesting, John, is that I had anticipated, I didn't anticipate a cast of thousands showing up for this board meeting, but I had anticipated
a couple dozen or so.
Well, I would have thought there'd have been a few at least.
Right.
And quite honestly, I had the anticipation that what I was presenting, which I want to talk a little bit about, I presented a very quick survey that I want the school board to send out to every one of their parents to find out what the parents think about the CHSAA, mm-hmm. getting back to that, transgender policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that there would be some people there that would take offense at what I was asking, that it's inappropriate or whatever adjective you want to put on it. And there might be a little discussion back and forth. Give me an opportunity to present a case even more fully than just making a statement.
Right.
Nobody there.
No one to do that.
Nobody to do that.
All right, we'll come back and talk about what that is in a moment, so don't go anywhere. American National Insurance is up next. Paul Leuenberger, my agent. He'll help you with all of your insurance needs. Call Paul today, 303. Oh, I got to stretch it out, Charlie says. Well, I need 10 more seconds. Okay, well, I can go 10 more seconds. Paul, who's my agent, who I've had now for, gosh, I don't know how long, 7-8 years or more. What I will tell you is anything I need, I just call him on the phone. It's all handled. And will he save you money? Absolutely. It's what they do. It's one of the great, great programs that American National Insurance has. And I mean that sincerely. So anything you need. And the thing about Paul is he'll do everything from hot rods, which he's got a special policy for, ATVs, boats, cars, you name it, including the home. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the No Surprises Insurance Agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Hi, this is Al Smith with Golden Eagle Financial. Join me at a workshop at Ruth Chris Steakhouse Tuesday evening, the 25th of May. To register, go to klzradio.com/money.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Richard Giordano with us today. And Richard's written some books in the past, and you can find those, by the way, on Amazon. Just type his name in, you'll find him. Is your new book out yet?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so it's there, ready to go. Buy it.
It's the one I gave you a copy of last time.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I apologize. Do you have one more after this?
No, I think I'm done with the book writing.
All right. For some odd reason, I'm sorry. I talked to so many people. And what's the title, Richard?
Ineptitude, Conformity, and Obfuscation, the Fraud of Teacher Evaluation in the Public Schools.
So buy that again on Amazon, I assume, is where you can buy it.
It is.
You can
it
most
is.
Everything else. All right, let's talk to us about CHASA.
Well, CHASA, as you know, John, and some of your listeners know from a previous appearance here, CHASA has a policy that mandates, it doesn't leave it open, it mandates that, example, a boy who says he is a girl can compete against girls. We're talking about biological girls now, biological boy.
Okay.
Biological boy says he's a girl, self-identifies as a girl. That's the nomenclature today. That person, that boy, who's now a girl by his own identification, has to be able to compete against biological girls in interscholastic sports in the state of Colorado. It's not an open question. They say must. And there are several.
It's done deal.
Done deal. Done deal. No question. Has to happen. Schools are just going along with that. I spoke a while back, I wasn't going to get into this, but I spoke a while back with the athletic director of the Jefferson County Schools.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice man. But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't involve himself in that sort of thing. He kicks that to the superintendent. When I asked him if he was involved in the original origination of the policy, which is several years ago, he was not, he said. The policy was revised in 2019, making it even easier for these people to self-identify with fewer questions asked, fewer proof given. He was not involved in that either, nor were any of the colleagues with whom he knew. But he wasn't that anxious to get involved in it, which is kind of, now I'm not trying to be critical of the man, because he's a nice man. Mm-hmm. But what I'm here to tell you is that he is, in fact, by definition, a part of what I call that education coterie.
Sure.
He's part of the group. And the group has decided not to really raise the hackles, apparently, of the CHSAA. So nobody's
doing
it. Yeah,
because their jobs are on the line if they do so.
Well, probably so. That's why he kicks it up to the superintendent.
Right.
Now, there has not been a case in the state of Colorado yet, as you've seen back east with some of these court cases. Some of these young girls are challenging.
Right.
I think they've lost some cases recently. I don't think that's going to sustain. I think it's going to continue to get worse for this transgender movement. And I hope it's overthrown eventually.
I agree.
In the state of Colorado, there hasn't been a case yet, but my position is, and I made the position to my school board last night, is if you don't take action on this, if you don't get this policy changed,
You're going to.
You're throwing under the bus the parents and the girl who's going to be subject to this violation of Title IX.
Right.
And so that's my thesis, and I think it needs to be addressed. It's not like, well, let's whistle through the graveyard and hope nothing happens.
No, it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah, no, I agree. And for all of you that are listening, the way this works in the state of Colorado, to Richard's point, is if there's a student, maybe they're a junior in high school, let's just pick on, 11th graders, juniors. All of a sudden, maybe in the sophomore year, we'll pick on track. Maybe in the sophomore year, this particular male, maybe he did fairly well. But let's say, for example, he finished, dead last in every heat he ran. I'm using he for a reason. He ran dead last. Maybe he's good. Maybe he's a good student. Maybe he's a good kid. But at the end of the day, he's thinking, wait a minute, time out. I want a scholarship. I want to get to college. I want to, there's things I want to do. And maybe somebody hasn't been, by the way, Richard, bold enough to say, maybe track's not your sport.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's been honest enough to even tell this individual that.
Hurt his self-esteem.
It might hurt him. He might not get that gold trophy at the end of the day. So what he does is decides, hey, I'm not as fast as all these guys. Man, I could sure run with the women.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't I?
Well, that's the
All he has to do is self-identify as a female, and guess what? He can go run track on the girls' track meet.
That's exactly correct. And the CHSA says you must allow him to do so.
Yeah, they're basically saying if he does so, you have no say in this. He's going to run as a girl.
Correct. And to that girl who has to run with him, that biological girl that has to compete, they're saying you have to compete. There aren't any options.
There's no outs.
No,
is what your point is,
John. I want to make sure that we have enough time at the end of this for me to cite some people that I'd like your listeners to be able to call. I've identified some school districts that they should call their board presidents. I think it's important that this happen. But let me tell you what. May I tell you what this survey? It's a one question survey that I want to have every district in this state ask their parents about. It's a statement, and this is what I read to the board last night. Here's the statement. A student athlete who was born a biological boy but now self-identifies as a girl must be allowed to compete in school athletics against biological girls. There are five choices for you to answer. Strongly disagree, somewhat disagree, no opinion, somewhat agree, strongly agree. Now, that's pretty simple and straightforward,
mm-hmm.
and it's not addressing what happens after you answer that question. That's going to be up to the districts, but my hope is that the districts will find, as I suspect they will, the vast preponderance of their parents do not want their
biological. They would strongly disagree with that.
Exactly right. And what I'd like to do before we get to the end of this is provide the phone numbers or email addresses for board presidents in some of the larger districts in our area.
You know what? I'll tell you what we'll do to make that easier for everybody, Richard, is give me those. We will put those on our website and show notes. Perfect. I'll just give this to Ann. So all of you listening, so you don't have to sit in the car and write down numbers and all of that, I will put these on, not only, I'll give this to Ann, she'll put them on Facebook. We'll also put these on the website. They'll be there permanent in our show notes. So any of you going back and wanting to know more about this, we'll have all that information ready. Richard, that actually makes it way easier. That way nobody has to worry about writing anything down.
Good. I like that a lot.
That's easy.
I like that a lot.
So talk about Demi Lovato real quick and the influence she has. I know we ended the last segment in the last hour with that, and I shake my head at this, but you brought some seriousness into it a moment ago, and you're correct. One thing we're all forgetting, she has influence.
Yeah, that's part of what I wanted to also mention, and that's why parents have to have influence. Mm. You know what you've got here, John, is what you have here is school officials and the PTA who coalesce around the idea that they're going to support all this nonsense, that is transgender.
Right.
But you also have a powerful media out there, and you have the Demi Lovatos.
Pushing it.
Yeah, I read that article today. I was kind of surprised when I walked in. Charlie had asked me if I knew Demi Lovato, and I said, not personally, but we have a connection by virtue of what I read about her this morning. But she has a big influence with young people.
Sure does.
Parents, that person is important. Whether you like that person or think that person is a troubled young child, she's a 28-year-old child. But in addition to that, you have major media that are portraying things in your child's worldview, such as a program that's called Modern Family. Now, if you haven't watched Modern Family, it's not on my list of must-sees, but if you watch a little bit of it, you will see that it is not what they purport it to be, which they call, quote, the family of the 21st century. This family that is represented there, and by the way, this is so interesting to me because I've done a little work on this. This is a comedy series. But one of the things I mentioned in my first book when I dealt with student athletes, Supercharged Learning, mm-hmm. How Wacky Thinking and Sports Psychology Make It Happen, the most powerful learning paradigm is emotion. Emotion is extremely powerful mm-hmm. when you're trying to learn and hold on to something.
That's right.
A comedy series evokes tremendous amount of emotion.
Good point.
And it has a reaction. And if you present homosexuality, transgenderism, or two mommies in a family or two daddies in a family in a humorous way, it sticks.
Yeah, you're lightening things up so it sticks.
You're lightening it up, but more than that, you are normalizing
mm-hmm.
it.
Right. That's exactly right.
They're normalizing things that, quite frankly, are not normative.
And by the way, everything Richard just said in that program follows suit in many, 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 many other programs that are out there. It's hard now to turn on any program, no matter whether it's on TV, Amazon, Netflix, whatever. It's hard to watch any type of a program or movie and not have what Richard just said talked about there.
Yeah. That program ran for 11 years. It got many quote-unquote awards. Which boggles my mind. I can remember, as you can too, John, your listeners as well, when we used to watch Miss America, or we used to watch the Oscars, and they were kind of wholesome programs.
Right. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
So anyway, I just want to point out that parents, it is really important that you can talk to the CHSAA. In fact, in our first broadcast, when I talked about that, I suggest you contact them. I quickly realized that's not going to get you anywhere. You're not likely going to get any too far with your principals.
No.
They're kind of just following orders, as the old adage goes. Your board members are the people that set policy in your district. They're
That's
the
right.
one that make the rules.
Right.
You can hold their feet to the fire on this. This transgender movement has got to be stopped.
It does, and you're right. And I, by the way, I've had experience personally with CHASS, and everything Richard just said about CHASS is exactly right. You're not going to get anywhere with those individuals, especially the ones that are running it. There are some great people, by the way. There is some good, solid coaches that do serve on the CHASS board and so on. Now, I will say this. If you know, and it's listed, by the way, I will tell you right now that is an area that you may have some influence on, because I've done this myself in the past, whereby if you feel like something is going on in CHASS that you don't particularly care for, you don't call the top end at CHASSA. You call the coaches that serve on the board, because these are folks that really are at, you know, let's face it, they're in the trenches of this on a daily basis. I can tell you right now, there is not a coach one out there, especially one that's coaching female track, that want to see a boy running against their girls.
Yeah.
So I will tell you that one of the areas you can have some influence on, outside of the numbers we're going to put on the website and Facebook page, is you can go to CHASSA's website and find those coaches that serve. And there is... the ability there to maybe have some influence on those coaches, which then have some influence upon Chassa.
But let me give you a little bit of an aside on this, John, from personal experience. When I was initially trying to choreograph how I was going to approach the board in the Gilpin County Schools, that's Blackhawk Central mm-hmm. City, by the way, I thought I would want to contact some of the people that were closest to the ground there. So I, in fact, tried to contact by phone and email the athletic director for the Gilpin County Schools. And I never got a response. I sent two emails. I made a phone call, left a voicemail, never got a response.
Interesting.
That person went to the superintendent to inform the superintendent that I had contacted them. They're afraid. They're afraid, John. Mm. And I'm not trying to castigate these people because they're good people.
Right.
But let's face it, there's a lot of political pressure mm-hmm. out there.
There is.
The LGBTQ, XYZ, whatever it is, they change it every day. That is a powerful, powerful influence. There's a lot of money behind that.
A lot
of money.
Richard, you always bring great stuff, and I know we'll talk again on this because this isn't going to go away. It's going to continue to get worse, I'm afraid. So we'll have you back and continue to talk about this. So thanks for all your hard work.
Thanks for having
me. Appreciate it very much. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next, folks. I said earlier, don't forget, you can go right to the website, klzradio.com/extreme. So look for Extreme there once you go to the website. And if you fill out the contact page there for them, you'll receive free wiper blades or a free tire rotation. Choice is yours. Just go there, check it out. And any work you need done, by the way, in the Parker area, or really this southeast end of town, just go to Extreme Auto Repair. Find them again at klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list, showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, Kevin Flesh, Flesh and Beck. He was with us yesterday, by the way, talking about all the things related to COVID, vaccines, masks, and so on, even some business questions that we threw at him. You know what? He's great at. He can answer, and he can do that for you as well. So no matter what you've got going on, whether it's an accident, you got an insurance issue, you've got a business question, whatever it is, Kevin is there for you. It's fleshlawfirm.com, F-L-E-S-C-H, or 303-806-8886.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Welcome back. Dr. Jane Orient joining us now, Executive Director of Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Jane, thank you so much for taking time to join us. We do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And I'm taking it that you got to where you needed to go safely or you wouldn't be with us.
Yes, I finally got all my stuff in the door and I'm seated at my desk.
Well, I appreciate it again. Thank you very much. Talk to us about, and this has been a hot topic, really, especially since Friday when we've learned from the CDC about, you know, some of the new mask orders and things along those lines and vaccines and so on. But one of the things that nobody's talking about, one of the things I wanted to, you know, bring you on specifically for is just this, and that is students that are looking to go back to school, back to college, they're now getting letters saying basically, come back vaccinated, right? Am I correct in what I'm saying there?
at least 300 colleges have sent out letters like that. By no means all colleges. Some states are much better than others. I think Ohio and Florida and Arizona are pretty good. The Ivy League colleges are all using a lot of coercion. There was supposed to be a little demonstration at Rutgers today, I think, protesting against this. I don't know how it went.
So I assume in this case those are students that are protesting because they are smart enough to where they realize they're not in that super high-risk category where they need one in the first place. Am I thinking correctly?
Students and with the support of their parents.
Oh, nice. Okay, even better. And what I just said there, I really did mean to say that. I mean, we're talking about, and you would know this better than I, you're a doctor, you're closer to this than I am, but all the data that I've read and the studies that I've read, this is a group of individuals that, frankly, are very low risk of COVID in general. Am I correct?
That is correct.
So, if that's the case, then why the push to get them vaccinated?
Well, especially since many of them have already had an asymptomatic infection or an infection that made them sick, but they recovered. And it's probably actually dangerous or more dangerous to vaccinate people who already have antibodies to this. So really, these people do not need or should not have this vaccination in most cases. And one rationale is, well, it protects the staff and the people in the community around them. But all of those people are perfectly free to get vaccinated.
Right, right. Thank you. Duh. So if they're worried about it, get your own vaccine and quit worrying about the kids. You brought up something a moment ago that I've not talked much about. I've talked about it briefly, and mainly because I don't know all of the ins and outs of, people that have had COVID, they have an antibody. Frankly, I'm one that believes that if you've got the natural antibody, because I just believe this is how the body works, if you've got that natural ability to fight it off in the future, why would I want to screw that up by putting a vaccine that, frankly, I don't even know the ramifications of yet at this point, Dr. Jane? And I'm not bad-mouthing the vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but in this case, I am against the vaccine because I don't think we know all of the ins and outs of it yet. In fact, we've seen some of the byproducts of it, so we do know a little bit about some of the adverse effects. But the bottom line is, if these kids have got the antibodies, isn't that better than the vaccine?
Probably so. We don't know how long the antibodies will last. We don't know how long the antibodies from the vaccine will last. People say, well, this is a vaccine. We get hundreds of vaccines. They're all safe and so on. But they had to change the definition. This is not really a vaccine.
No, it's not. That's right.
It is a genetically engineered biological agent. And there is no way we could possibly know the long-term effects because it's only been several months.
Then why? And I asked this question. We have a podcast we do corporately here at Crawford. So we did that this morning. One of the questions that I asked my cohorts this morning is, why the huge push, especially here in the United States? Granted, there's other countries that are pushing, but I don't see any other countries pushing as hard as we are here in the United States. Why the huge push then with what you just said to get basically the entire population vaccinated?
I think everybody should be asking themselves that question. Actually, there's a bigger push in Israel than here.
True.
And there are analysts who are not in the Israeli Ministry of Health who say that people are not getting the facts about how many adverse reactions there are. And these people are saying that more people died from the vaccine than would have died of COVID, particularly in the younger age groups.
That to me is a good fact that we need to continue to promote, I guess is probably the best way to say that. I would love if even you could, send me some data on that. I would love some data so I could, I'm a data guy, as you can tell. I love data. That's partly what I've been looking at all through COVID. And I realized early on, once some of the dust started to settle and you started looking at some of the real numbers coming out of this, that, quite frankly, and I'm a big one on this, Dr. Jane, I'm not sure that it even qualifies as an actual true pandemic, because the original definition of a pandemic was widespread death. This particular, in the case of COVID, it has not been widespread death, even with the comorbidity. And if you take comorbidity out of it, it's minuscule.
The only statistic that I think is truly reliable is all-cause mortality. And it's pretty clear how many people died. But there is so much confusion about whether they died with COVID or whether they died of COVID that
I just think we can't rely on those figures.
And by the way, you're basically saying what I've been saying now for a year plus. And again, I'm a data guy. I just look at the data. And in the case of these kids, you can look at the data and look at how many kids of that age group have passed away from COVID only. And it's a very, very, very minuscule number. And yet there's this huge push to get all these young kids, and now we're even talking about going down below the age of 14 and 15. We're talking about going all the way down into 9, 10-year-olds to get them vaccinated, and yet they're not even fully grown and developed. And to your point earlier, we don't even know what the ramifications of this are yet, and yet we're going to push this on our kids. I don't get it.
Especially the ramifications about fertility.
Ah, good one.
They will say there's no evidence that it impairs fertility, but there's also no evidence that it does not.
That's a great point.
Theoretical reasons to think that it might, that the spike protein's been found in the placentas of mothers who have had COVID, and the spike protein from the vaccine is probably just as damaging as from the disease. So I would like to see the animal studies and the results. I think they've been very, very limited, or the results are not ready yet. But we're not going to know what happens to our younger generation for several years. And what are we going to say several years from now when our now teenage daughters and sons can never have a baby?
What are the other potential side effects? I guess maybe that's the way for me to ask that. What other potentials do you feel as a doctor might be there in this current vaccine, if you may? I mean, you know, maybe you don't know, maybe you don't know, but if you do, what are your thoughts there?
The not-so-potential ones are the blood clots that are happening, and it's not just the people who die of this very unusual cerebral sinus thrombosis in the brain, but the ones that have had, you know, just skin manifestations or nosebleeds or other signs of low platelets. We're seeing a lot of that, and this is a very dangerous thing. Why are we having young people suddenly getting strokes and heart attacks and pulmonary emboli? Because of this protein that they are manufacturing in their own cells. But that's what the vaccine does. The vaccine makes them manufacture foreign spike proteins, and then your body is supposed to make antibodies to those. So you are, as Bill Gates said, the vaccine factory.
Is that, and again, I'm not a doctor, you've got way more experience on this than I do. To my knowledge, that's the opposite of how we've done vaccines in the past. Am I right?
Well, yeah, it's very different. In the past, we give the person a weakened virus, and then the person makes antibodies to the virus. But this time, we're giving them a fraction of the virus. We're not giving them even a fraction of the virus. We're giving them the genetic material that causes them to manufacture a fraction of the virus. And then they're supposed to make antibodies to that. So we're really on uncharted grounds here. And, you know, this genetic engineering has been going on in research for 20 years. And what exactly they are hoping to accomplish from this, we can only guess. But we do know that people have been working on it for a long time and are not being fully forthright about what they're trying to do.
Caller called in a moment ago to Dr. Jane Webley. We're talking to Dr. Jane Orient. She's Executive Director of Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And we had a caller just ask, what effect could this vaccine have on the blood supply across the board, not just for young people, but across the board?
This question is just now recently being asked because the vaccinated people have spike proteins in their blood. And this has the capacity to cause clotting and deplete your platelet supply and cause you to bleed. And we don't know how long these things are going to persist in the blood. So it could be that vaccinated people should be disqualified as blood donors, or that perhaps if you haven't been vaccinated, you would prefer to have a donor who's not been vaccinated.
I think I would in this particular case. Another question, and if it's a dumb question, you know, tell me it's dumb, but, you know, I look at myself and I've gone through COVID from day one. I've worked, I've traveled, I've gone numerous places, including outside of the country and back in. I've not changed really my lifestyle, Dr. Jane, at all. I've only worn a mask when it's been forced upon me to do so. Outside of that, I've lived my life pretty much the way I always have. To my knowledge, I have not had COVID. I guess I could have had it and don't know for sure. I've not had a real solid antibody test. I'm giving blood in a week, though, and I'll know then whether I've got antibodies or not. But let's say I don't have the antibody because I haven't had COVID. I guess I look at myself and say, if I've gone this entire time and I haven't contracted COVID and I've been around people, including family members that have had COVID, and I've not contracted it, why would I go get a vaccine?
The answer is you shouldn't.
Okay. Thank you.
But you should be taking enough vitamin D.
Which I do.
And enough zinc.
Which I do.
And you should be maybe getting some iodinated mouthwash and nose drops to use if you've been exposed to people. And you should do, good common sense. Stay away from the people. Wash your hands.
Well, I'm a very particular sort of anal individual anyways along those lines, which probably has benefited me through all of COVID. I'm kind of that clean, I'm the guy that comes in the studio a couple times a week and cleans everything off when nobody else has, because it's just kind of who I am, Dr. Jane. So I'm kind of that guy anyway. So that part's been pretty easy for me. But, and I guess where I'm going with this is I think there's other people out there like myself listening that are thinking, I've got all these people around me telling me I need to get vaccinated, and yet I've gone this entire time and haven't gotten it. Why would I?
Very good question. Maybe you look at the statistics coming out of theirs of people who are dying after the vaccine. More than 4,000 of them reported already, and they're really, really backlogged. Therefore, they've had more reports to this reporting system for this one product over a few months than they've had for all vaccines altogether over the past 15 years.
Wow. Amazing.
Why is it on the market?
To your point, and I think we're going to learn so much more down the road that, I don't want to be that guinea pig with this particular vaccine and knowing what's going to happen on down the road. Now, I'm also not against it. If somebody feels like they need it, they're, somehow compromised and it's something that they need to do. Or I had an individual yesterday where they want to travel to Canada to do some things. Canada won't let you travel unless you have it. I guess if there's certain situations where you have to get it, I guess that's a decision those individuals will have to make. But I don't like this mantra, Dr. Jane, and what even happened on Friday, where we literally now have got the government, the CDC, the White House even, in a way, tempting and or hanging a carrot so people will then go get a vaccine. I'm waiting next for the payments to start arriving, Dr. Jane, where if you get a vaccine, the government rewards you somehow monetarily, because I believe that's next. Because right now, as a country, we're only sitting at about a 38% vaccination rate, and that's far below what the Dr. Faucis of the world want.
I think Ohio already has a lottery. You can get a $1 million if you get a vaccine. Yeah. But for experimental drugs of other kind, there's a big ethical question about how much it is lawful or ethical to pay participants. Because, it gets to be coercive. If a person is poor, how can they turn down a big monetary inducement?
Right. No, you're spot on. I can't say it any better. Dr. Jane, how do folks find out more about you and the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons?
Our website is aapsonline.org. And if you go there, you can download our free book on protecting yourself against COVID, about the different stages of disease and the importance of early sequential multi-drug treatment.
Okay. One last question. We had a caller just call in a moment ago. What's the difference between the J&J vaccine and the others?
The J&J vaccine uses an adenovirus vector to bring DNA into your cells to get your cells to make spike proteins. So it's a different method, but they all three of them use genetic engineering, and they want your body to manufacture this.
So it's essentially just a different path to the same result. Am I explaining that correctly?
I think so.
Okay, so just a different path, same result. And one last question I would even have is, why then have we had some, and maybe there isn't more because of what you just said a moment ago as far as the reporting goes, but it seems like there's been more reported issues with J&J than the others.
There has been, and I think probably the CDC is prioritizing adverse reactions reports to J&J. Maybe they're friendlier. Maybe they've got more conflicts of interest with Moderna and Pfizer than they have with J&J. I mean, the government can no longer be relied upon to be honest and full of integrity.
Agree.
And not to be swayed by financial interest.
Agree. Dr. Jane Orion, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I appreciated you working with me schedule-wise to, you know, work around your drive time and everything today. I wanted to have you on. It's been great. You're welcome anytime, by the way. This is fantastic information. I do appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Thanks for making accommodations.
You're very welcome. Dr. Jane Orion, again, she is the Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Please, if you got anything when it comes to your mortgage, give Kurt a call today. He'd love to help you explain all your different options. Give him a call today, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Greg with Open Range Services said, "With all the things I have to worry about in a day, it's nice not to have to worry about this complex beast of a machine outside my office. BES has done a great job of maintaining it for us, and we use the heck out of it. I have had some not so fun experiences with office machine maintenance companies in the past. Thanks for giving me one less thing to worry about." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
All right, folks, Franktown Firearms, I would be amiss if I didn't mention that, hey, they are great Second Amendment supporters. They're also now going to take that Second Amendment approach, if you would, in teaching our young people what it means, how it works, and the healthy respect they should have for guns as well. And by the way, I appreciate that so much. So thank you, Franktown, for doing that. Find him at klzradio.com or give him a call, 720-770-7777. And if nothing else, just thank them for what they're going to be doing in this particular area, because, folks, that's a big, big deal. So again, find him at klzradio.com.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal: to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price, so they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. Paul in Denver, you're next. We got right at a minute. Go for it, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to throw out a comment there on this lottery thing they have going on in Ohio. I'm wondering if they thought about the implications of it, because there was a bunch of people that got the vaccine before the lottery, and I'm wondering if they could go back and sue them because they're not eligible to be in the lottery.
Good point. Oh, great point.
It's just, doesn't seem like a good idea.
It's not, Paul. First of all, like she said, we should never be rewarding someone for doing something in this case in the first place, especially given this is a very experimental vaccine. And those of you listening, if you think otherwise, you're crazy. I've got some swampland I'd love to talk to you about, because this is, in fact, Paul, an experimental, you know, treatment. It's not even a vaccine. It's an experimental treatment at this point.
So, great anyway, point. I just see some looming problems.
Yep, great point. No, good call. I appreciate it, Paul, very much. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Rachel Keen and I, Conservative Mama, we got a lot in store for you, so don't go anywhere. The National Crawford Roundtable is next right here on KLZ 560.